Just a short reading this evening from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. I'm echoing here, Gary. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. In our text this evening, the Apostle Paul urges us not to be anxious. Or another way of phrasing the text is not to be troubled with cares. When we're born again into God's kingdom, we have the assurance that God cares for our needs and God has a plan for us. The Bible says that God determines the days of our life before we were born. When we surrender to Christ, that surrender included giving God the control of our life and letting him lead us into the life he's prepared for us. And the only way to be free from our anxieties is to rest confidently in his plan and submit to his will. But worries won't just disappear when we commit to trusting God. We must know his word and apply his word to our life. To be anxious for nothing, we must see God's goodness, present our cares before the throne of grace, and leave our cares in God's hands. Let's begin by looking at what it means to let our request to be known through prayer, or as some versions say, petition, and thanksgiving. Let's start by looking at prayer. A prayer is talking to God. And if there's one thing that the devil wants you to be reluctant to do, is to pray. But everything must be done through prayer. If prayer is neglected, your spiritual life will be weak, and what you are trying to do for God will be weak. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Three times in those verses, Jesus says, "When you pray." He assumes that of course you will pray, and that prayer will be as much part of your life as breathing. Jesus then instructs us to pray from the heart, but also warns about the two errors that we can fall into. He warns that God doesn't honour prayers done to show off our spirituality, and God doesn't honour vain repetition. That's not to be mistaken for persistence. Persistent prayers are commended in the Bible, but vain repetition was pagan practice. The pagans believed that power was in the words, and that they would constantly repeat specific prayers or chant mantras. But the truth is that words have no power as such. The power is in God. God honours prayers that come from the heart, and not prayers of other actions that are done to show off our spirituality. A common question that people ask is, if God knows what I need before I ask, why do I need to pray at all? Well, we are to pray because we're commanded to pray. God doesn't need our prayers. He knows tomorrow, and he's planned every step of our life. God even knows where our decisions will take us, even when we choose to disobey him and neglect him. Prayer doesn't reveal our needs to God, but prayer conditions our heart to God. Prayer teaches us to look to God. If I could go through life and never have to pray, I'd be taking God for granted, and in time, I'd never think of God at all. Prayer is for my benefit. When I pray, it should remind me to stop and examine my life and my direction. Rather than praying to ask God to bless what I'm doing, I should be asking God to lead me to where He's blessing. Prayer is the time I spend with God. Prayer is a very important way in which God speaks to me. No relationship can grow without communication. God must be the center of my life in order for me to live abundantly, as Jesus promised. Unfortunately, there are many people who live in material abundance but are destitute spiritually. You can't experience the abundance of the Christian life without an intimate walk with Christ. And without prayer, you can't walk close to Him. So let's look at petition. Petition means that we seek God and bring our cares and needs before Him. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us approach the throne of God with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We can confidently come before God's throne and freely receive His mercy and forgiveness, and then we can seek His grace for our needs. Psalm 55 verse 22 clarifies this even more by telling us to cast our burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain us. It says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you, and He will never let the righteous fail." When we trust Him with our needs, He'll not allow us to be shaken. And that's a tremendous promise. But the problem most people have is that they're unwilling to cast their cares or burdens on God. Either they want first to see how God's going to handle a problem, or they're not at all sure that He is able to handle it. So they hold on to thinking that they can do a better job than God has. To cast means literally to hurl it away from you. You can't hold on if you throw it into God's trust. If you pray and then pick it back up and you haven't cast your burden on the Lord, God may test you to see if you really trust Him. But it's a promise that He will not allow you to be moved or shaken. The one thing that we must realize is that we are commanded to bring our petitions and requests before God. And that should lead us to examine our motives. In James chapter 4, we're told that we don't have because we don't ask. If we ask and we don't receive, it may be because we're seeking to fulfill our wants and not God's will. When we ask, we should be reminded to look at our life and see how this fits into God's plan. Am I asking for something that is going to fulfill God's purpose, or is it a self-centered request? It's God's commands that lead us to His blessing. If you want to be blessed, seek out God's commands. Seek God's purpose and fulfill it, and God will bless you. God eagerly longs to pour His blessings out on you, but you must first be faithful. And when you seek just the blessing, then you're not seeking God. 1 John 3:22 says, "Receive from Him everything we ask, because we obey His commands and we do what pleases Him." If you're seeking to do the things that please God, you will ask with the right motives. Petition is also praying for others. Throughout Scripture, we're told to pray for others. Pray for their sickness. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their needs. We're told to pray for those in authority and in leadership. If we spent as much time praying for our politicians as we do criticizing them, we'd probably see God moving. We're commanded to pray for our spiritual leaders and those who labour with us in God's purpose. Petition is also praying for God to move. We pray for God to begin a revival. We pray for God to open the doors that we can't open. Petition is praying and seeking the things that God calls us to accomplish. God may command us to run the race to fulfill his call, but that doesn't mean that there'll not be any opposition. Very often when God calls you to his purpose, he will lead you to a closed door. God can move a mountain and open any door, but it's yours and my responsibility to pray for God to move. When God burdens us to act upon his will, he also calls us to pray for him to fight for the cause that he's put before us and trust in his power to do it. God wants us to see his promise and claim him in prayer. When we know something is God's will, we'll be confidently praying, knowing that God will answer our prayer. That's my phone. Let's look at thanksgiving. God blesses a thankful heart. When you give thanks, you put your focus on things worthy of thanks. Through thanksgiving, you begin to see how God is working in your life. An unthankful heart will be unthankful even if they abound in blessings. But a thankful heart gives glory to God. God is not glorified in a Christian who complains and sees only the negative things in life. 1 Timothy verse 6 tells us that to be godly and content with what God has given us is a great gain. He says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, God didn't promise us riches, but God did promise us satisfaction and fulfillment. Until we're content with what God provides, we'll not see the greater things in this life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 puts that this way: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. The only way we can be thankful for everything is to first learn how to offer prayer and petition. When I can leave my problems at God's throne, I can trust his promise that all things work for my good. Praise and thanksgiving are the best sacrifice that we can offer to God. Hebrews 13 tells us, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. That's God's will. Being thankful shapes our heart and our thinking so that we can look at the deeper things of God. When we're lost in our worries, we can't see anything other than our problems. When we're thankful, we're released from our burdens and we can seek God. Thanksgiving leads us into a deeper relationship with God. That brings us to verse 8 of this evening's text. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. And then, after we do these things, applying our hearts to seeking God in prayer, bringing our petitions before him, presenting to God a thankful heart, we can finally get to the meditation on the deeper things of God. When we're able to focus our minds on the valuable things of God, we'll be at peace. When we do these things, the God of peace will be with us. Meditate, or let your mind focus on these things that Paul mentioned in our text. And these things are: true. Focus your mind on the truth as revealed in God's word. Know God's word, memorize it, and allow it to become part of your thinking. Noble. Noble things are things of honor. Things that are noble are the things that show high moral character. To think about what is noble is to think about the things that direct us to goodness. Right. To think on what is right is to think on and what God obeys is what is God's standard. Pure. Think of the things that puts in our minds on a moral purity. Lovely. Things that are lovely are things that are pleasing and pure. Admirable. Instead of allowing our minds to wander towards the negative, dwelling on the things that anger or trouble us, we need to focus our meditation on the thoughts that uplift us and focus us towards God. Praiseworthy. Thinking on these things will make us stand in awe of God. Put your focus on things that call you to praise the handiwork of God. The reverse of these things is to allow our mind to dwell on those who have offended us, or think about things that cause us to worry or fret, or to let our minds wander about things that are immoral. Our thoughts will either draw us towards God or carry us away from God. Just remember that where your mind is focused, your heart will follow. Sorry about that. If your heart is on the things of God, you will follow Christ into a deeper relationship. Joy comes from adjusting our lives so that we're going in the direction that God is going. When our hearts and minds are on the good things of God, we can obey with our actions as well as know that God responds to our prayers because we're seeking Him. We also will have the confidence that the God of peace is with us. God will not change for us. We must get into His will. I challenge you to adjust your prayer life to those principles. It begins with Christ. You must surrender to Christ and allow Him to be Lord of your life. Jesus is the door to salvation. He said, "I am the door. No one comes to the Father except through me." The relationship through Christ is the first step that will lead you on the great and satisfactory prayer life. The relationship through Christ will lead you to the life that pleases God. What more could possibly ask for? Amen.